Yeah, Rick Tocchet just spoke to media, said both Elias Pettersson and Nils Höglander have returned to Vancouver.
Oh, great.
So not going to be on the road trip.
Yeah, that's
just heard Lena in the background there. Yeah,
she did not fully say the word.
Yeah, I think she was
close call there from one of the hosts of Canucks Brunch. Canucks Brunch off to a roaring start here this week. Love that. Lena encapsulating how all Canucks fans feeling after hearing Elias Pettersson and Nils Höglander have returned to Vancouver and will not be an option for the Canucks, at least until they return home after the conclusion of this six-game road trip. Let's bring in our next guest. He joins us every single Monday here on Canucks Central. It is the great, the legendary Don Taylor. You hear him 10 to noon on Czech TV. Donnie and Dolly. What's happening, Donnie? We're all just reacting to the news that Pettersson and Höglander are finished for the road trip. They're headed back to Vancouver, and the odds of the Canucks making a playoff push just got that much longer.
Just so frustrating for Canucks fans. And I, you know, like, can you possibly feel sorry for the Canucks right now? I almost do, especially in the wake of that game on Saturday, where they clearly outplayed the Rangers, had JT Miller, their old buddy, get a goal and an assist, rubbing it in with the empty netter, and then losing two players like that. I think one of the most frustrating things for Canucks fans, I don't know if you guys have brought this up already, but, you know, Höglander and Pettersson got injured, obviously fairly significantly, fairly seriously, otherwise they wouldn't be coming home. Does anyone really know what happened? I know there was a lingering injury with Pettersson, but was there one incident in that game that they thought to yourself, okay, that's definitely where both of them got hurt. I know that there was the tussle in front of the net with Pettersson. It seemed quite innocent. The face off in tussle in front of the net, he took a shot off the leg. I'm not really sure.
To me, it was that after that face-off, he was wincing kind of, and then that's when he left and he came back. To me, it looked like he maybe hurt. I was saying, like, you know, not to play doctor, but the best case scenario is maybe he had back spasms. But obviously, it's not back spasms because you don't fly back to Vancouver for it. You know, the worst type of injury would be kind of a core injury or something. Like, that would be the fear that I have. But again, like, we're just guessing because they don't give us any sort of details on injuries, right?
No. But like you said, so the team they're playing tonight, the Devils, we saw what happened with Jack Hughes. I mean, that was horrible. What happened to him? Yeah, he's out for the season. You can see why. But here, and I'm not saying they're not hurt by any means, but there's nothing you can really attach it to where you say, well, there's no question they're gonna, you know, both of them are gonna be coming home. So it's just a real, real frustrating time for the Canucks. Certainly, it's a frustrating weekend given what happened in that game, but just adding to what has been a real disappointing and frustrating season.
Well, and for Pettersson especially, Donnie, given everything we've talked about all season long, the struggles he's had, you know, I think about the December 23rd game against San Jose. He scores two goals and then has to leave that game with an injury. And now here it seems like he's getting his season on track a little bit, has a six-game point streak going, and now he's suffered another injury that's going to keep him out at least for the next little while. So even when he has felt like he's starting to come out of it, there's been an injury waiting around the corner to stop that from happening.
So I just mentioned JT Miller and his goal and an assist. And, you know, JT and Elias can say what they want about whatever happened between the two of them, but I was looking forward to some sort of battle. Like, I don't mean a one-on-one battle. I don't mean them dropping the gloves. But I mean, you know, both of them really, you know, going toe to toe offensively, maybe just, you know, in goals and assists, and that would have been just fabulous, and that didn't materialize. I'm sure the competitor in Elias was looking forward to that as well. It was a real, really disappointing. And I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it was just so great as a hockey fan, as somebody who's followed the Canucks all my life, you know, to wake up at 10 in the morning on a Saturday, you got the whole day off, and just sit back, coffee, and watch that game. And it was an interesting game, but again, a real frustrating game for anybody who follows the Canucks, who cares about the Canucks.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's, you know, is this the most Canucks season ever? No, like, okay, so going into the year, the expectations were, you know, contend, right? Coming off this big year that they had, and they had an active offseason. The hopes were very high. And not only do they, you know, struggle, they had, you know, civil war in the dressing room, apparently, with JT Miller and EP40. Miller ends up getting traded. The team obviously loses its ceiling. They're not as good without JT Miller. They've had injury after injury. There's been turmoil around every corner. And just when guys were getting hot, you have these injuries hitting. And now Demko gets healthy, and Besser's on a hot streak, but it doesn't matter all of a sudden. Like, I don't know. That, like, maybe it's recency bias. But this just feels like the most Canucks season ever.
No, if you mean by Canuck disappointing, and I think we all do, when I say that, I mean that in a lot of ways. But it's got to be right up there. And everybody I know who follows the Canucks may have foreshadowed the season, in that everyone said, man, nothing went wrong last year.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I mean, other than not winning the Stanley Cup and, you know, not advancing past the second round, there was really, you know, very little injury adversity. You know, just everybody was having career. It seemed everybody was having career seasons this side of Elias Pettersson. It just seemed so perfect. And you wondered, as people who follow the Canucks, that would they pay for it this season? Nobody really said that, but in the back of everyone's mind, I think they said, you know, God, they got to pay for all that luck that they had, good luck they had last year. And sure enough, they had. And then, you know, when you talk about disappointing seasons, I always, you know, I measure disappointing seasons by the expectations going in. And there certainly was an expectation, you know, back in 82, 83, coming off that, yes, guys, I was around for that, that coming off that Stanley Cup final, that was a disappointing season. The next go on, 94, 95, you know, people forget about that season, in that it ended up being disappointing. It also ended up being really short. There was a labor dispute.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Canucks changed head coaches. Pat Quinn decided to go with Rick Lee. And they just didn't live up to expectations the next year in a real strange, abbreviated season. And then, you know, 2011-12 was somewhat disappointing as well. Big expectation. They won the President's Trophy, but ended up flaming out in the first round against the Kings, who went on to win the Stanley Cup. So I think that this is in that league, and that, no, you know, they didn't get to a Stanley Cup final. And you could talk about some of the Messier years as being disappointed as well. But again, they all have one thing in common: big expectations, and they didn't come close to living up to them. Maybe that 2011-2012 team did somewhat, in that they lost to the Stanley Cup champions in the first round. But it just that, you know, in line with all of that, the expectations were really high, that people were even talking about maybe being in a Stanley Cup final. I mean, they took Edmonton to seven games, and Edmonton made it to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup final, losing by one goal. Surely the Canucks were going to do something real special, and they just haven't come close to living up to expectations.
Yeah, I think the comp that I was thinking of is after the 06-07 season, the first year with Luongo, they go to the second round of the playoffs. They lose to Anaheim in, what, five games, right? And the Ducks go on to win the Cup.
Yep.
But, the excitement around Luongo was like, man, we've got one of the league's best goalies now. Like, we can build off this, and then they miss the playoffs the next year.
But the reason this is worse than that is, at least, like, you know, Kessler was coming up, was young, right? The Sedins were still young. Yeah. Now we have this existential crisis because we're wondering, does Quinn Hughes want to stay here long term?
Yeah.
Does Elias Pettersson, is he going to be worth the money for the contract he just signed? Miller is gone. The ceiling's not the same. Like, we went from, like, the hopes are so high to there was an existential crisis less than a year later.
Yeah, and you talk about the Hughes situation. Are we going to have to live with this for the next 2 years?
Yeah.
Like, as talk show hosts, are we going to be talking about this for the next 2 years? Are the fans going to have to wonder about Quinn Hughes' status for the next 2 years? I hate to say it, but the answer is probably yes. I mean, are you going to trade him? I mean, every move you make, it seems like it has to be with Quinn Hughes in mind, because he is such a, and his effort, by the way, Saturday was off the charts, but every move you make has to be with him in mind. And this is going to go on for 2 years. You've got 2 years left. It's going to go like that because it's so important, but it's a significant amount of time. And again, it's a source of frustration, and, you know, every move you make has to be with him in mind. And, with that in mind, you would think the only thing that's going to make him stay is a lot of wins and or hope for the future or both. And I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, and now the pressure is maybe at a all-time high for, or at least the pressure to save the Canucks season is all on Thatcher Demko's shoulders. Given these injuries, I know Hughes is going to do whatever he can.
Shoulder problem too?
Yeah, well, he might after this, but he's coming back tonight, and it's just like the only way a lot of Canucks fans can kind of see the season and maybe the playoff hopes staying alive is if Demko just rediscovers that Vezina form and helps them into a playoff spot simply by standing on his head now.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, what are the chances of that given the way the season has gone for him? And, you know, and even if he does do something special, you know, what's it going to mean for him health-wise? And what? And the other question is, what is something special? Squeaking into the playoffs and, you know, and maybe, you know, getting blown out in five. I don't want to be, you know, negative here. We all get accused of doing that too much. But I mean, what exactly is something special? And is it worth, you know, jeopardizing the future of your Vezina caliber goaltender? Like, it's such a giant question. But I would think most people are going to trust Rick Tocchet, and to some extent, I know they've had their hiccups. The medical staff and Jim Rutherford and Patrick Helvin and putting this guy in net at a time where he just seems so fragile. So, yeah, it's indicative of the season that they've had, that it's come down to this, 12 games left, and they're putting their hopes in a goaltender that just can't seem to is an outstanding talent, but just can't seem to stay healthy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I'm with you. Like, even we were talking about this before the wheels continue to fall off this playoff push here, was they're not doing anything more than maybe winning a round if they get lucky. Because we know how hockey is, right, Donnie? Like, crazy things can happen. You can win a round. Yeah. Maybe you win two. This even happened before, right? Like, a team all of a sudden finds itself in the conference final. Somehow, some way, they got there, right? But it's not a championship-caliber team. I think everyone understands this. I mean, the organization itself admits this, right? It was more about, okay, can you at least get Pedersen to the playoffs so he can maybe, you know, reclaim some confidence? Can Hughes maybe learn to play better? Can these young guys get a chance to play and get a little bit of experience? And not getting that either after standing pat at the deadline, I think it just compounds the issue even farther, because if you want to justify not doing it, you kind of have to make the postseason.
Yeah, and you make a great point there. Like, I've been a fan of a rebuild or just something with an RE in front of it for a long time. But you make the good point of the young guys on this team. You know, the young Elias Pettersson. I mean, the list goes on. There's a lot of young players on this team, a significant amount, or players with very little playoff experience. If they do get into the playoffs, you can say, okay, well, this is not great. They're only going to get two home games for revenue, but those guys would get experience, and there's something valuable in that. But again, at what cost? Like with Demko's health in mind, and then you know, will it hurt them more than help them? Even though, you know, they would get that playoff experience if they get blown out right away, what is that going to mean for them? It's just a chaotic season.
So I guess it's the finding out period. Can Atu Ratu play top line center? Is that?
What did he do to find out? He didn't mess around or anything. They just called him up.
Yeah. Well, he's leading Abbotsford in points.
Yeah, it's either that or like Pugh Suter right now is your top line center with Pettersson out.
So I got a friend in Portmoody who goes to all the Abbotsford games, and he says Ratu's been incredible. Now, last time I checked, they were still in the American Hockey League. So there is that. But he's been not if incredible is the right word, but he's been, you know, easily one of their best players, and it just shows you how big that jump is. Hey, this is off the subject. Speaking of jumps, you know, for all the guys who get excited because they see somebody do something in the American Hockey League, in special or in junior, how about Josh Levo in the K, setting like just blowing everybody away? Josh Levo.
Yeah.
It just shows you how good the National Hockey League. I'm not taking a shot at the K here by any means. I think everybody knows it, but the numbers he put up were really, really impressive. And there's been some unreal players that have played over.
Oh yeah.
There, but it just shows you how great you have to be. And again, nothing against that to Ratu, but leading Abbotsford in scoring, doesn't mean you're a top six center in the NHL.
Well, it reminds me of Cam Barker. He had that big year in the KHL. He was best defenseman in the league that year, and you know he had obviously played with the Canucks the previous couple of years and the last season in the NHL and never made it back. But he was the best defenseman in the KHL for a few years, and it just shows you, right?
Yeah, no, it's just anybody. It's why you have a hard time rip decisions maybe in contracts and some of the decisions that coaches or GMs make, but the players are just absolutely a wonderful highlighted for me most recently by what Hughes was up to on Saturday, even though they lost.
Hey Donnie, how come the refs don't want goalies to fight anymore? Huh? Did you see
with
Kemper and Swayman?
I'm not sure what the reasoning is. I don't know, Seth, maybe you have something on this, but if I'm not mistaken, Kemper's way bigger than Swayman. I think he's got like 5 inches and 20 or 30 pounds on him.
Yeah.
So maybe that was in there. I'm not really sure, but yeah, I don't know what the big, come on. I grew up in the 70s. So that was like, they'd have all four goalies fighting. I mean, it was like normal back then. And that was pretty disappointing, and I just wonder what the people in the crowd must have been really, really disappointed. And again, I'm not saying I'm pro fighting. I understand there's negatives when it comes to fighting, but it looked pretty cool there for a while.
Yeah, I know it did.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would just let him go get after it. Give us the old Patrick Waugh versus Chris Osgood or Mike Vernon, one of those Red Wing goalies. Like those were the fun days.
Potvin
and Hextall, you know.
Oh my God, that was the one I was going to bring up, because Potvin fought Hextall, and Hextall just tough guy from the Western Hockey League, then a hockey family, and all sorts of incidents through the years. And what people didn't know is, I guess, Felix Potvin's dad was a boxer and taught him a thing or two. And he more than held his own against Hextall. And he's a little bit smaller, as I recall, as well. Stopping the puck might have been more of an issue for Felix, especially when he's in Vancouver. But hell of a fighter anyway. That's one that really sticks out for me.
So was the last Canuck goalie fight we had, Garth Snow?
Oh God, he had such a temper on him.
Yeah, I can't think of one. It was Ryan Miller trying to get after. I don't think he actually fought, right?
Yeah, well, the one, Ryan Miller's. I think of them more about the Buffalo incident. With Milan Lucic.
He jumped Matt Martin, I guess, after. But that wasn't really a fight. But like Mike Dunham fought Garth Snow back. I think it was like late 90s. They had a fight.
Snow fought like every. He was threatening to fight every second or third practice.
I know. He was great
about games.
It was great, but I mean, I think that's the last Canuck goalie fight I can think of. I don't know if we have one.
Well, people, you've got like us.
You got great listeners. Yeah.
they'll come up with something that we can't think of right now. But I do remember Garth Snow getting upset quite a lot. Gary Smith had a temper on him as well, going back to the 70s. But I don't remember any real fights that he got into. So again, your listeners, I'm sure, or our listeners will help us out.
Donnie, we always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for this today.
No problem. Anytime, guys. Lots of fun.
There he is, the great Don Taylor, joining us every Monday here on Canuck Central, and we appreciate him for it. You can listen to Donnie and Dolly 10 to noon on Czech TV Monday through Friday. He's also on Wednesdays with the crossover and Canucks Talk. I think Dan Kluche, I remember when he was with the Rangers. I guess he got into it with like the entire Islanders.
Yeah,
team.
he beat a few guys up when he was the Rangers. Man, the guy was a loose cannon.
Yeah, and looking it up here, he got into a bit of a tussle with Travis Green at one point when he was with the Canucks. Him and Greener got into it. Green was with the Boston Bruins at the time, but it wasn't an actual fight. But,
yeah, I don't think
Green took him out, and then there was just like a big scrum, and Kluche got in a few punches on Greener before the refs broke it all out.
Yeah, but like actual goalie fight?
No, there was no actual goalie fight.
Yeah, I don't think he has one as a Canuck, Dan Kluche.
No, not as a Canuck. So. No.
That's what I'm saying, as a Canuck. The last one I can think of was the Mike Dunham, Garth Snow one.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's like almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy.
1998, I looked it up.
I don't like remembering time in these instances. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Keep your texts coming in, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, and there's a lot. Obviously, some people are wondering about the Canucks' chances after this. We've got Randy asking about a complete and total rebuild. you know, Pettersson and Höglander are hurt. We're not ready to trade Quinn Hughes and start the full rebuild just yet.
No, I mean, they're injured. They're not, like, you know, gone.
Yes.
they're injured.
It's just an injury. Number 43 is still on the roster and is still under control for the next two seasons. And as long as Quinn Hughes is a Vancouver Canuck, the word rebuild shouldn't be entering your mind frame.
Yeah, I think the rebuild happens if and when Quinn says, I don't want to stay here.
Yeah.
That's when that happens. Otherwise, you're trying to build still while Quinn is here. And, you know, obviously it doesn't look good for the Canucks, but they still have 12 games to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about this being the most Canucks season ever. The funniest thing ever would be them, like, winning 3 or 4 in a row right now. Like, because you saw the games they've lost.
Yeah.
And hockey is funny this way. That's why, like, let's see how these games play out. And if you listen to our first segment and in the interview with Donnie, there isn't a lot of hope here, right? But at the end of the day, you still have to let games unfold here, right?
More doom and gloom than there is hope right now for the Vancouver. We are mimicking the weather in Vancouver at this point.
Yeah, our show rundown's already opened up a draft tab.
Yeah. We're getting set for draft talk season. Canucks still do, like, they've traded a first round pick this year, but they still have their own first round pick.
I've reached out to 15 draft guests.
Josh is ready.
Yeah. Well, this one here says, this text, there's a simple solution, guys. All the Canucks have to do is sign Luke Hughes to a 1 year, $11.5 million offer sheet this summer.
Mm. And that'll get Quinn to stay.
What's the compensation on that offer?
4 first round draft picks.
Worth it?
No, it's not.
If it keeps Quinn Hughes, is it worth it?
Yes.
Probably not, though.
I don't know. You'd have to, like, the only way giving up the 4 first round picks is worth it, I think, is if you're pretty confident you're not going to be anywhere close to selecting in the top 5 in any of those 4 years.
Surely Quinn Hughes would also be like, hey, maybe sign someone better on an offer sheet.
Yeah, there's also that. Frank Saravalli is going to join us. Jam Pro, from conference rooms to kitchenettes and everything in between. Jam Pro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit jampro.ca. Our weekly insider, Frank Saravalli, joins us next on Canuck Central.
Catch up on what happened in Vancouver sports with Halford and Brough in the morning. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.